clothes are kind of funny. Her hair is kind of wild and free. Oh, for a love rose, where my rosemary goes, and nobody knows how it be. She talks kind of lazy, and people say she's crazy.
Talk with George Norrie. Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
What a classic, huh? And back in a moment, two more hours ago of Open Lines, right here, with you and me on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up by going to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Kenise from Cleveland, Ohio, listening on WTAM 1100.
Well, welcome to the program. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, George, I think it was last Friday on Open Lines, you had a gentleman call in. He claimed his name was Oscar, and he was the son of the devil.
Yes.
I want to tell you, George, in my 54 years on this earth, I've had some spiritual experiences myself with what you would call astral projections, and as a child, and possibly actually having a direct experience with God as a child. And when I heard that caller call in and claim that he was the devil or the devil's son, I got to say, it made the hair stand up on my neck.
Me too. You know, I was in Hawaii when that call came in doing
right.
The program, and that was chilling. And everybody who was in the studio, I mean, they just stopped doing what they were doing and just kept listening as we talked with him. And you know what? If one could believe him, I would say that that guy was as close to being the devil's son as anybody I've ever heard.
Well, you know, also, George, I've had several spiritual experiences in my life, and I want to tell you, I'm not saying that I'm, you know, a spirit or an angel or anything, but I think I'm pretty close to the Creator, maybe a little closer than most people are because of my spiritual experiences
mm-hmm.
in my life.
Understand.
And I'm telling you, I'm also a police officer in the Cleveland, Ohio area. So I listen to you every night on Coast to Coast because I work the night shift, and I've seen plenty of things, and I want to tell you, I think I was listening to pure evil at night.
I think you're right. What is the most compelling story that has ever crossed either your desk, your experience, or something you've come across out there?
Well, George, I'd have to say that I don't know if this is going to be a compelling story or not, but it's kind of sad. One day I was in a grocery store here, a local grocery store, and I was walking down the aisle where an African-American woman was walking and with her little girl, probably about the age of 3 or 4 years old. And I had said hello to the little girl. I said, "How you doing, young lady?" And it was, you know, it really got to me because the mother said, oh, don't talk to him. Like, you know, in the 27 years that I've been doing this job, I've seen a lot of things. I've seen death and destruction and everything else. But the one thing that really saddened me was when a parent, no matter what race they're from, could tell a little child, oh, don't talk to that policeman.
Oh, you were in the uniform then?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was in store in uniform.
Okay.
On my lunch break. So, I mean, you know, all the other stuff that goes with the job, you know, you just got to kind of grin and bear it. And when it comes along, you just got to, you know, do your thing and fall back on your training and everything else. But, I mean, sometimes you're just not ready to deal with the views that parents want to impose on their child.
No, I understand.
Regard to police.
But think of this. You know I love police officers. You know my son's going to be one. Think of this for a moment. What if she had, with one of the bad apples that are out there, and they're in everything, what if she had a bad experience, and unfortunately, that's how she feels now? So,
well, you know, everybody's got the right to their own opinion, but, yeah. You know, there's bad apples in the police profession also.
Yep.
I just don't happen to be one of them.
No, I understand.
Thank God.
Okay, thanks for the stories.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there.
Yes, sir. Where might you be?
Jim Mercer, Arlington, Texas.
Well, Jim, welcome to the program.
Okay, George, I was listening to you last night, and Rosemary
yes.
brought up something that caught me here as far as extraterrestrial. Some people believe that that could be an angel or a guardian angel.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that years ago that such a thing happened to me that saved my life. And I'll tell you a quick story, if you would.
Okay, please.
Okay. I wanted to borrow my sister's car. So I give her a story to borrow it. And actually, what I wanted to do is go to the bar and shoot some pool with a friend.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So we were shooting pool, had, well, 4 or 5 beers. Looked at my watch, and time to go. You know, I was running behind. So it's a small town in the country, and it's a 2-lane road. And I'm flying down the road about 120 miles an hour.
Oh, my God. 4 beers, 120 miles an hour.
Which is kind of dumb, I know. But I was young. So I don't know what made me look, but I looked to the right, and there was like this little... I've seen pictures of ET and everything, but it was sitting there. It could be no more than 4 foot, but the black eyes and, you know, skinny arms, skinny legs. Well, what it did, George, it freaked me out. Well, I looked back at the road, and it freaked me out. When I looked back, he was gone. I immediately slowed down because it just freaked me out. Well, about a quarter mile down the road, there was a sharp curve turn. And right at the beginning of that curve was a fence, and behind that was a big oak tree.
Oh.
Now, if I hadn't slowed down and if he hadn't freaked me out, I'd never made that curve.
No. And did you know that curve was coming up?
No, not that quick. I didn't know.
No, you would never have been able to negotiate that.
No, I never had. But if it hadn't freaked me out, I'll remember to this day, and I'll go to the grave, remember seeing that. And the two things I remember most is the black eyes looking straight ahead, not saying a word, and his feet not being able, be able to touch the floorboard. Two things I remember in my mind. And I've told people, and they said that some people have guardian angels in a different way. So I thought maybe the Father could share a little bit of light on that for me.
Well, let me tell you something. Somebody saved your life. And,
oh, yeah.
And there's,
oh, yeah.
And there's a reason for it.
Mm-hmm. And, I've been, some people believe me, and like I say, some people believe, you know, because they've had experiences such as that, too. And,
well, you know,
day,
I believe you. I don't know what manifested it. I believe you. I don't know whether your own intuitiveness saved you or whether there was some divine intervention that saved you, but
yeah.
Whatever it was, something did this.
But I'll never, I don't even know why I looked. It just looked over, and he was just looking straight ahead, and it just freaked me out.
Yeah, I understand.
And I've seen, and this is, you know, before, you know, because I'm a country boy, and we didn't see no pictures on TV as far as ETs and stuff like that. I think back there in 69 and 70, there wasn't a whole lot of talk in that area from Illinois.
And I hope your days of drinking four beers and driving
went away
right after that. Hey, thanks for the story.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate that. I've got a dear friend of mine who encountered a little problem a few years ago, and he also made a mistake somewhat like that. He went to a local tavern and stayed a little too long, and instead of calling his wife or a taxi, he decided to get in a car, and he went driving. And sure enough, he was driving at a much slower clip than you normally would, which I think aroused the suspicion of the local police. But in this particular case, he hit a small standing stoplight and knocked it over. He got out of his car. Must have been 3 or 4 in the morning. There was a police car trailing him slowly. He got out of his car, went up to the street light, got down on his knees, cradled the street light, and cried like a baby holding the street light. Officers came up to him. I'm not going to give you his name because he listens to the show, and right now he's going to get me when I get back to St. Louis. Officers got out of the car, and at this point, they didn't know he was drinking because he was going, you know, a little under the speed limit, and he was doing okay until he hit that thing. And they went up to him, and there he is, crying with his small street light in his lap. And both police officers said, "Sir, what's wrong?" And he said, with tears coming down his eyes, "God is my judge. I killed him. I killed him." He absolutely thought he had hit a person, and that is what he was holding. He was that out of it. Learn your lesson. Never drive and drink. And he paid his price after that, by the way. They took him away, and he paid his price. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George.
Yeah.
Oh, great. I'm glad I finally got through. My name's Darlene. I'm calling from Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Sure.
And first of all, I want to thank you for being there.
I will always
be here. I've been listening to the show all week, and something happened to me about 24 years ago that I haven't talked, maybe I've told a couple people about.
Well, it must be important for you to remember it so long.
Well, it's really good to know that there's somebody that I can call and tell that is a believer in the different dimensions and ghosts and different things, but I'll try to make this quick.
Okay, that's right.
My very first child I lost the day after she was born, and I was very young, and I, of course, was very depressed. And one night shortly after this happened, when I was sleeping, I felt someone take my hand. And when I woke up, it looked like a figure. Most people probably call it a ghost, but it was like the figure of a woman. But she was veiled. I couldn't see her face, and she was standing next to my bed, and I could not speak. I got scared, and I tried calling for my mother, but when I was scared, nothing would come out. But when I got scared, she disappeared. After she disappeared, I was able to call my mother. Okay, well, when everybody thought I was crazy, you know, told me I need to get out of the house and whatever, but there was more to it. This was real. I wasn't dreaming. And a couple days later, As I was waking up in the morning, what was waking me up is I kept hearing a woman's voice call my name. And when I started to wake up, all she said was, "Your second trial is coming." Now, I always thought it was weird that it was always a woman.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Well, of course, everyone thought, you know, pat you on the back, oh, you'll be all right. Well, something compelled me about this to go into my mother was Catholic, and she had this huge Catholic Bible in her bedroom. And what I thought was so strange all these years, on top of what I just told you, was that I went into her room, and I put the Bible down on the bed, and I just flipped it open, like, you know, you just flip open a book to look through it. But it opened up on the first page of the chapter of Job. And, you know, the trials and tribulations.
Oh, sure.
Okay, and I feel like, I don't know, it was just so strange, and I'm sorry, I'm really nervous right now. It's like I said, there's not a lot of people that I tell this to because I know what happened, and it was real. okay? And one other thing I wanted to say, you know, I've been listening, like I said, all week and talking about that, you know, some people talk about the end of time and about different dimensions, and you've been mentioning December 21st.
Yeah, this has been a different kind of a week.
That is my birthday.
December 21st.
Yeah, and see, I've always felt
the winter
like I've always
solstice.
Suffered from, like, a depression. I always felt like, you know, doomed. And I know it sounds crazy, but I've always felt like I'm being pulled down, like nothing's ever going to work out for me.
Let me tell you something. December 21st, 2012, we're going to have one heck of a party for you.
Right. I was thinking it last night listening to your show, and I said, oh, my gosh, I've got to call you. And this is the very first time I dialed your number.
How old will that make
through.
You 7 years from now? Let's see.
I'm 44.
7 or 8 years. Okay. Yeah, you'll be in your 50s then.
Yeah.
You'll still be young.
But anyway, I just wanted to get a little, I just wanted to see what you thought about what I experienced. I've had other things happen, but that was the most traumatic thing in my life was that I know I wasn't afraid.
Listen, you know what you felt, and you know it was real. That's the important thing. And nobody has to tell you otherwise. By the way, don't forget, talking about the spring and winter, and turn your clocks ahead 1 hour before you go to bed, Saturday into Sunday, okay? Spring ahead, fall back. Those of you who make the time switch, spring ahead, fall back 1 hour. You got to run around and do it to all your clocks, all your watches, and do it all. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George.
Yes.
My name is Steve.
Hey, Steve. Welcome to the program.
In Palos Verdes.
Good to talk with you. What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to you talk earlier about those little animals running around.
Oh, they're everywhere. They used to be. I haven't seen them in a while.
Okay, well, listen. I got these animals in the crawl space. I just got this new house, and I have this crawl space above all the ceilings. And you hear them every single night. They run around crazy. And this is no lie. I had to call a varmint control to come out here, and there's a problem with these animals. I don't know what they are, but he says they're not rats, but they're big like that. Like, let's say
So does he say there's something up there? He admits that?
He wants $5,000 to get them out of the ceiling.
Now, the ones we've been talking about, Steve, are, I think, coming from another dimension because they're like shadowy things.
Well, they are dark.
That's weird.
Yeah?
And you can hear them.
You can hear them, and they don't, all day long, they're silent. As soon as it gets night, they're going crazy.
Now, the guy who checked out your house, he didn't catch anything?
He didn't catch anything, but he found remnants of them, so he knows they're there.
And he has no idea what they could be.
He went into the crawl space, heard things moving around, but didn't visualize anything.
It probably scared the heck out of him. You got to catch one of those things. How many are up there, do you think?
He says there's many.
Like hundreds?
I'm telling you, I have an estimate of what he wants to get him out.
$5,000?
$4,800.
Does he guarantee it?
Guarantees it. He's going to come back every 4 days and check the traps he's going to set.
Now, where will they go? Are they going to die up there?
That's what he says, and he's going to have to remove them.
Oh, my God. I would get out of that house for a while.
I know. I'm a little nervous to sleep at night. Well, as soon as the clock strikes midnight, these things are going crazy.
I've never heard of this before. And they're bigger than rats, he says.
They're bigger than rats.
And they're not squirrels, I guess.
They're not squirrels. They're... But he's had the problem before in the neighborhood.
Oh, he has?
Yes, he's been to a number of homes.
Has he ever caught anything?
He hasn't caught anything yet.
See, I'd be very leery of writing the guy a check for $5,000 if he's been around the neighborhood and still hasn't found one.
Yeah.
These things, what if they're dimensional? What if they're really not physical?
Maybe that's why he hasn't caught any.
That could be. Hey, keep us abreast of what's going on.
I certainly will.
Right.
Thanks for taking the call.
Steve. Appreciate that. Can you imagine that? $5,000 to get rid of these critters? And he says that they're in the neighborhood, but he hasn't caught one? I don't know if I'd go with that guy. I think How would you like to have that job? And you go up in a crawl space and you start hearing these things scurrying around. I wouldn't want that job if you paid me. I guess somebody's got to do it. That's a great thing about America. We've got jobs for everybody. But that's one I wouldn't want to do. Open lines continue. Yeah, on Coast to Coast AM.
Want to time travel? Go back to past shows on Streamlink. Sign up online at coasttocoastam.com. With George Norrie, call the wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Vatican expected to issue a report on the Pope's health in about 1 hour. So we'll monitor that for you. But he is still alive. After Dark Newsletter, the May issue will be a gangbuster issue. There'll be an issue on UFOs coming out, done by webmaster Lex Lonehood. You might want to take advantage of this because they're giving you 14 issues for the price of 12. So call 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online. Very safe, very simple, very secure. CoastToCoastAM.com. And sometime in May, I'm going to be at the Cave in St. Louis for several weeks. My son graduates from college, so we'll be doing the programs out of there. And I'll keep you abreast of things as that develops. East of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George.
Yes, sir.
Captain Spike Mike from the Fantastic Four.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I got a friend who wants to talk to you.
Okay.
Hey, R2. Hey, R2. Do you remember George Norrie? He does not dye his mustache.
No, he does not.
Now, why would you say something like that? Well, no, I've never actually met him, but I mean... Oh, switch off. George, I'm terribly sorry about that. I apologize. He's not normally like that.
R2 is out of control, Mike.
He's been hitting the motor oil lately.
Yeah?
Lucas isn't going to do any more movies, so he's out of work.
Make sure he doesn't drive with
the
that.
The commercial motor endorsements aren't coming in.
That's a great sound.
R2, George, have a happy April Fool's Day, bro.
You got it, my friend.
Bye.
West of the Rockies. Hey, by the way, Spike Mike is from the Fantastic Forum, as he said, a group of great people who religiously listen to Coast to Coast. And, you know, they come up with some great ideas as well. Good people. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. I wanted to tell you about an April Fool's Day joke that was played on me about 25 years ago tonight. I was pregnant. I was waiting for my baby to come, and I was 9 days late beyond the day that the doctor had said that she would come. And so the contractions started, and I waited until about 8 o'clock in the morning, and then I woke my husband up and told him, and he decided that we'd go to the hospital, and because I live about 40 miles from the hospital. And so we got up and went to the hospital at about 8 o'clock in the morning on April 1st to have this baby. And when we got there, the contractions all of a sudden started slowing down. Now, I was 9 days late already.
Oh, yeah.
So they suggested that I go ahead and have them induce labor and have the baby. And I said, okay, 9 days late, I'll go ahead and do it. Well, they induced labor, and she wasn't born until April 2nd at noon.
How about that?
So that was her April Fool's Day joke on me.
On you, that's right, and probably continues to do so.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's cute. Tom is telling me to take the next line, and I will. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello?
Hello, George. Oh. This is awesome.
This is Oscar again, the devil's son.
I'm the cloud of darkness, George.
Well, I got to tell you, last week when you called, Oscar, you had a lot of people scared and pretty concerned.
I would hope so, George. I'm the son of darkness, the son of Satan. And like I told your callers, the world will end in 2007. I'm supposed to tell you, George, I'm currently in a woman named Rachel, and they're trying to perform an exorcism tomorrow to extract me, and it will not work, George.
What do you mean it won't work, Oscar?
George, I have been involved in 107 exorcisms since 1936, and only one has been successful.
And how did you end up coming back again, then?
George, I will never go away. Ever.
I think good is going to beat you, Oscar.
Would you like to talk to the lady I'm in, George?
Yes, I would.
I will let her briefly say hello. Just a minute, George.
This guy is creepy.
Hello, George. This is Rachel.
Rachel, are you aware of what's happening to you?
Yes, I am, and I cannot get this evil being out of me.
So tomorrow, you're going to have an exorcism performed on you.
That's correct, George. I'm trying to get him out of me. He will not leave. He's controlling everything I'm saying.
George, I'm not going to leave her. I'm very happy what I'm doing. And I want you to know, evil will win.
Not this time, Oscar. Not this time. That has got to be one of the creepiest voices I have ever heard. I mean, look at it. I've got hair on my arms. I was born with it. I'm telling you, it is standing up like a cat would when it's challenged. Wildcard line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
That was a creepy caller, wasn't it? Not you. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Sorry. I've got to move on. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, is this me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome to the show, sir. Where might you be calling from?
About American Falls, Idaho.
Okay, what's on your mind?
Well, a variation on the old hag story, I think.
Aha. Uh-huh.
My grandfather was born in 1900. He's since passed away. But when he was a little boy, about 5 years old, he was telling me, he told me the story later, how one night he was there in bed, and as usual, his mother came in late at night to pull the covers up and over him, and he didn't think too much of it. And as usual, while in there, she decided to use the chamber pot, and he didn't think much of that either, because that was common in those days. And so he reached out to pat her on the hand to let her know that he was awake and everything was fine and wonderful. And when he did, he patted a dog's paw. And of course, being a little boy, the only thing he could do is dive under the covers, and there he stayed the rest of the night. But he swears it's a true story.
I love it. I love it. Thanks for sharing it.
Well, one last thing, if I can interject.
Yeah, please.
Father Wingate, when he was talking about talking to the Cardinal in regards to the information from the Vatican, did he not say if we heard that the Pope has died, not to believe it?
Last time he was on the program, which was March 16th, he made a prophecy that said that the Pope would live, but that the Vatican would say that he had died,
right.
And this Pope would... He's now telling us that this Pope will live, but this is not the time that they're going to do that. They're not going to whisk him away and put in a false Pope, as he was saying. Not this time. So he's changed that a bit.
Okay, well, time will tell.
Yeah, sooner than later.
Yeah, very much so.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, George.
Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, where are you?
I'm from Lawrence, Massachusetts.
Sure.
Back in 1958, I was a little girl. I was playing outside. It was summer. It was about dusk. My mother called me up. We lived on the third floor. So I go in, and I'm coming up the stairs. I'm like a little kid. I'm just bouncing up the stairs. And as I got like 4 steps from the second landing, I look up, and there is a solid figure standing there. It was all light. You could not see through it. And I just got the weirdest fear, and I looked up. I says, "Who are you? Who are you?" I could not see any facial features. And it just stood there. And so I screamed. The woman on the second floor opened up her door, and as soon as she did, it disappeared. And she tried to, I was crying by then because I was so frightened. And they was trying to say it was a light from cars coming in, but this was a figure. This was solid. This was like a human-shaped figure. And it haunted me ever since, and I've been reading books, and I've been looking for things just to see maybe if some of your readers have ever occurred to them and what that may have been.
How did this affect your life? As you said, this happened when you were a little girl, and obviously it's you're still thinking about it. Did it affect
you?
Well,
I've always been able to assess. Like, I could walk into a room and just assess situations, and it's like I can see people, and just it's almost like I know their feelings. And what their makeup is, what they're made of.
So you think this has made you a little more sensitive in a psychic way?
I'm not sure if that's what it is, but I would just love to know if anybody ever come across something like that, because like I said, it was a solid figure.
What do you think it was? What do you think it was?
I think it might have been a spirit or something from another world, because it was all, it was bright, bright light. It was just a solid light. Like, it was like, say, you had a light blaring in your eyes.
Sounds like whatever it was a good spirit.
Yeah, and I to this day, I wish I hadn't screamed and let it play out. But
well,
like I said, it's haunted me ever since, and I was wondering if anybody ever had that experience.
We'll find out. And you, I assume, never had a second chance with that spirit.
No, I haven't.
Okay, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, George.
Good morning to you.
Good evening. Or good evening, wherever you're at.
I like that.
I got a real good April Fool's joke I pulled on my mother yesterday.
Good for you. What'd you do?
Okay, well, we have a satellite dish, and we share the same dish, and we have two receivers running off it. And my bedroom's on the first floor, and my mom's sitting in the living room watching TV. And I sneak out into the kitchen there to get something to drink, and I have my remote in the hand. And I just go and stand there peeking around the corner. She's watching one of her favorite programs. that I switched a channel on her on a satellite. And she's wondering what's going on. She switches it back. So I wait a minute. I do it again. And she goes and she switches it back. So I wait a minute, another minute. I do it again. And all of a sudden now she's starting to talk to herself, wondering what's going on.
And you're hiding in the background there.
I'm hiding around the corner, and she has her back to me. She don't know I'm doing this because I'm bouncing the signal off a picture.
Yeah.
No, on the wall. And so anyway, she goes, she's sitting there talking to herself, and I do it again. And next thing you know, she's, you know, really getting frustrated and mad, and she's starting to cuss and swear and that. And so I let it go for another minute, and she switches it back. And next thing you know, the final time, I just started switching channels all over the place. And so finally, she got so frustrated and mad, she hollers for me. And I'm standing around the corner, and I can't answer, so I just started laughing. And she jumped up so bad, she knew, what are you?
She knew. She knew the minute you started laughing, didn't she?
Uh-huh. And I said, April Fool's. And
that.
The more I laughed, you know, because her being so mad, the more I laughed, she started laughing then too and thought it was funny.
That is funny. That's a great bit. She's going to get you next year.
Oh, I'm sure she probably will. She's probably planning to, you know, has in the stages of planning this one. She's
absolutely
gonna get me, but...
All right, thanks.
Mm.
These jokes, these April Fool's skits, if you plan them out well in advance and you think about it, you can stump anybody. And I don't care if they know. They wake up in the morning, they know it's April 1st. They know something's going to happen. If you do it well, you can get them. Let's go to our next line. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, my name is Ryan. I'm calling from Columbiaville, Michigan.
Hello, Ryan.
It's a little village. Anyway, I'm a high school student, and I started the first paranormal club ever in my school.
Hey, good for you.
And we've been investigating some of the local haunted places around here. So I've been to a lot of abandoned houses and various areas. And there's an urban legend around here about a road called Wilder Road, and there's a bridge on this very narrow dirt road. And we decided to take a trip out there.
Okay.
And we've been out there. We went out there about three or four times and just nothing, just dead. But we went out there a couple of nights ago, and we were driving across the bridge, and we just got the eeriest feeling came over us. One of the guys in the car started crying, and I myself just couldn't even speak.
Now, what's the urban legend out that way?
That a bride was taken out there, and in her bride's outfit, she was murdered and raped, and her body was thrown into the into the river. And a lot of people that I've talked to said they've seen a woman in a bride's outfit walking along the river, or they've heard screams or heard people running up and down the river.
Well, now, do you know if the episode itself is a real episode? Did that happen?
I've been searching so much into newspaper clippings, old newspaper clippings, but there's a metaphysical store down the road in town. And I went there, and I was talking to the guy there, and he's like, yeah, Wilder Road. He's like, I've heard a lot of stuff about that from a lot of people. And I've yet to come across the newspaper clippings, but it's hard to find stuff about it.
Well, something could have happened. And obviously, if you were all feeling very strange about this place, something's going on.
Yeah, we got out of the car, and we were just walking along the bridge, and we turned our backs to the woods, and we just all ran to the car. And we've been in, like I said, I've been in abandoned houses and all these supposed haunted places, and I've never been more creeped out than that.
So does the paranormal club continue now?
Yeah, like what we're trying to do is, my main goal, I had to talk to the principal and people about it, you know, to get it started. And they're like, you guys aren't Satanists or anything, are you? And I'm like, we're just investigating the paranormal. And, like, the main focus of the group is to write, like, the Michigan governor, to write Granholm, and maybe get kind of what Stephen Bissett's doing, trying to pressing for some information release.
Sure.
UFOs is big, man.
Absolutely.
I've been an avid listener of Coast to Coast since I was 10 years old, and I love the show. You and Art are my idols.
Well, let me tell you, if you ever need us to do anything for your paranormal club at school, you just get a hold of us, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot, George.
All right, thank you. Have a good weekend. And don't forget, everybody, clocks. Art will talk about it this week. It's one of his pet peeves. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well.
Justin, trucking across Oregon, heading to California.
You got to prove it. All right, it's you.
Hey, I'll tell you a neat story about when I was a child out in Sacramento, California. I used to sleepwalk, and I would climb out the window. I wasn't even in kindergarten yet.
You'd go out the window?
I would go out the window.
How high was the window from the ground?
It was for me to reach to climb back in. So my mom would always have to wake up. Well, eventually she started just, you know, sleeping in the room, make sure I wouldn't climb out before they barred the windows. But I couldn't get back in. And one night she came in the morning, and I was in bed, and my feet were dirty, and the sheets were dirty. And she asked me if I had gone out last night, and I told her yes. And she asked me how I got back in, and I told her Jesus put me back in and told me never to do it again. And I never sleptwalked out the window again as a child.
That's a great story. You know, that is, there's so many people who sleepwalk, and you're just not aware of anything, are you?
No, you're not. I still do it to this day. When I'm home, my wife will crack up because I'll go in the refrigerator and just eat in my sleep. And, I still do it, but I just thought that was such a neat experience. I don't remember experiencing it, but I remember the experience itself, you know, the next morning my mom talking to me about it and all that.
Do you sleepwalk with your eyes open or closed?
I sleepwalk with my eyes open. My wife says it all. I'll sit up in the middle of the night and just start talking to her, and she won't know if I'm awake or asleep.
That's something. So your eyes are open. Your everything's functioning. Your brain just isn't aware of this particular surrounding. I mean, everything's working like
Correct.
Some kind
I
of
mean,
machine.
I'll go in and prepare a meal.
That's incredible. Okay, you're breaking up right there at the end, so drive carefully. You're probably going under some tunnel or something like that. We have approached another hour, but we've still got one more to go on our April Fools open lines tonight. And by the way, that special line, just for you April Fools people, if you've had a story pulled on you or you want to tell us one, it's 818-817-0021. Coast to Coast continues. I'm George Norrie.
Subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505.
Now I sit by my window and I watch the cars. I fear I'll do some damage one fine day. But I would not be convicted by jewelry of my peers. Still crazy.